Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today we're going to talk to three people, one experienced RVing couple and a woman who is investigating whether the full-time RVing lifestyle would be right for her husband and herself. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear. You are designed for much more. But get started with the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For a monthly subscription fee, people can participate in two online webinars every week to learn things like what type of RV to buy, how to set goals, how to budget for the adventure, how to develop a positive mindset, where to call home, and how to find a job or start a mobile business. All online events will be recorded for watching at any time. Subscribers can also join an open question and answer session each month. For more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. My first guests today are Randy Lenhoff and Marjorie Snyder. Randy is from St. Louis and Marjorie is from Eppingham, Illinois. He was working as a truck driver for Walmart, and that's how the two met. They've been full-time RVing for more than 7 years. When they first started traveling together, they would drive the truck 1 month and the motorhome the next. However, the motorhome has a big bathroom and a big kitchen, which made transitioning into it a much better choice. They've already been traveling as far away as Alaska, where Randy worked in retail and Marjorie worked in the distribution center that supplied Randy with products to sell. They've held a variety of jobs from Alaska to Key West with stops in California, Iowa, and Phoenix. But of all the places they'd like to go most, Utah tops the list, and they explain why. Randy and Marjorie tell how they get calls from prospective employers, and now that they have some experience, they offer advice on how to make a resume stand out from the crowd. They also have an interesting story to tell about how they stumbled upon work camping in the first place. To tell us more, please welcome Randy Lenhoff and Marjorie Snyder to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Randy and Marjorie. Appreciate you coming here and talking to us about your experience. Tell us a little bit about yourselves, where you're from and what you do.
Well, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. Marjorie's from Illinois, south of Effingham. I started driving a truck and was working out of a DC for Walmart out of the town she lived in, and that's where we met.
Oh, very good. And how long have you known each other?
That was 2000, basically 8, I guess.
2008. So quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. And you have been full-timing for, what'd you say, 5 years?
Full-timing, more or less 7 years.
7 years.
Yeah, we were driving the truck, so we started driving the truck every other month.
Okay.
And we went out and bought a motorhome, so it would be the truck 1 month, and then the motorhome the other month.
Okay. Which one was more fun?
Oh, the motorhome.
Motorhome.
Yeah, the motorhome. What type of rig do you have?
The 37-foot 1993 Safari Ivory.
Mm-hmm. Did you do anything special to it?
I try as much as I can to keep it just the way it was.
Really? Okay. So it's worked out well for you.
So far, yeah.
Good RV? Okay. Super. What do you think, Marjorie?
I love our RV. It has no slides, but it's got wood floors, a big kitchen, mm-hmm. big bathroom.
And a big bathroom.
Oh,
big
yeah.
bathrooms.
Yes.
Yes, that's real nice. Yeah, it beats a truck in that regard for sure.
We knew if we could live in a truck a month at a time, this RV is massive.
Right. What kinds of, or where have you gone in your RV that's really stood out?
Skagway, Alaska.
Did you go up the Alaskan Highway?
Yes.
Oh, that's an interesting trip, I've heard. It can be both beautiful and, let's just say, interesting.
It wasn't bad when we went. We basically started about mid-April. We crossed the border in mid-April.
Okay.
To head up to a job in Skagway. Mm-hmm. It started May 1st.
Okay. That's a good time to actually visit, is yeah. right around that time. It's before the tourists show up and most of the roads are clear and the snow is gone, and it's really interesting, I think, to have that twilight 24 hours
yeah.
a day kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, I stayed up a lot of times with a camera. Well, I stayed up, and if I didn't stay up, I had a camera mm-hmm. looking at the sky so I could get that, you know, just a few hours of darkness.
Did you get the northern lights? Were you able to see it?
I saw what causes the northern lights. You know, you could see like a cloud type thing come across, but I didn't get the colors.
Okay.
But we actually went up there for a job. We were hired to work for Corrington's in Skagway, Alaska. They own like 5 shops.
Okay.
And that's where we went to work for 6 months. Randy always wanted to go there, and we thought while we still had money in our pocket, it would be a great opportunity.
That's nice. And it's a way to see Alaska, is to go up there and have somebody pay you to be there, right?
Definitely.
Well, that's the part about work camping. You know, you spend so much more time than just on a vacation.
How long were you in Alaska?
About 6 months, I guess.
Okay. What did you do for this company?
He worked retail, which meant he learned about all the handmade stuff and sold it in the stores. Mm-hmm. And I did warehouse. I drove the truck and hauled all the product into town and delivered it into the stores.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you brought him the product to sell is basically
what
it
did,
is.
That's what I did, yes.
Okay. Very good. And you were up there for an entire season?
Mm-hmm.
Would you go back?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't repeat jobs too much, you know, but yeah, we'd go back to it.
Mm-hmm. What other kinds of jobs have you held?
Well, along that line, I was just going to say we have work camped from Alaska to Key West. So all the way across, basically, the country, and with stops in California, Iowa, Phoenix, Arizona for the Major League Baseball spring training.
You worked for spring training?
Yep.
At one of the stadiums?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Surprise, Arizona.
Oh, doing what? Just collecting tickets? And
we were both kind of the warehouse people there. It's a little different warehouse description. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was food warehouse. I would deliver all the food to all the different concession stands.
Okay.
And she did it to some of the retail type places.
Oh, so all the places selling the little bobblehead dolls and things
yes.
like that. You were taking the equipment or these products directly to the booths.
Right, because they were right around the players. You know, you're up above, but there's the field right below you. So you're just every time you circle, you're watching the game.
Oh, that's fun. Mm-hmm. Has any one state stood out for you?
We haven't worked in Utah, but we always tell people that Utah is our favorite. And I said today to somebody that from driving the truck, people would ask us what our favorite state was. And we'd always say, surprisingly, it was Utah.
Really?
We never really thought about Utah, but it's just so beautiful out there.
Well, oh, the beauty, the desert
the scenery.
And the, what are they, hoodoos?
The
spires that come up from the ground? Hoodoos are the storm cloud. I can't remember.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of the name either.
Yeah.
We actually just talked to the Utah gentleman about a job, so we are going to be going there, hopefully, in May or June to work for them.
So 2020, you'll get to go live in Utah and really experience it.
Yes.
Okay. So Key West to Alaska, what's the favorite job you've had?
Favorite job? I don't know if there is a favorite job. I kind of enjoyed Adventureland in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed being in Key West. You know, I mean, the job was a, you know, job. It's been, the location is the main thing. The jobs, I can't really say one of the jobs was better than any other.
Okay.
I can.
You can?
Yes.
Okay.
We worked in Kentucky as campground host, and we got to go to a rural area in Kentucky, around Corbin, Kentucky, and there's only, like, a group sites, and they had to reserve online, so we didn't deal with any reservations, and only 3 groups came at a time.
Okay.
So we had the whole place to ourselves, usually Monday through Thursday. So I got to mow, clean, do stuff like that, but I had it all to myself.
And all to yourself.
Until the weekend.
And then the groups started showing up.
And the groups came in, but all I did was make sure they were supposed to be there, and they never asked nothing else of you.
Isn't Corbin, Kentucky, where all of the distilleries are, or nearby?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the home of Kentucky Fried Chicken, too.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah,
the original Kentucky Fried Chicken is there.
We went there.
How can you not? If you're going to be in the area, you go and see the Colonel, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they have a little museum set up inside this store.
They do.
So you can see the original kitchen and some of the original photographs and things like that.
We saw all of that.
That's a fun trip to do.
It was.
Yeah, he set up that Colonel Sanders, I guess, one of his ideas for marketing was to people would use a phone or bathroom, one or the other, but he made you have to walk through a fake motel room to get to that, so it would give you the idea, I think, to stay there.
Oh, that is a smart idea. So on your way to the restroom, you were learning what the hotel looked like.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
That
is smart. Absolutely. Well, I understand you just got a new job in rather a unique way.
Which?
Then that
the Key West one?
A resume, and somebody saw your resume.
Right.
And called you. You didn't even have to seek it out.
Right. 2 places I wanted to go was Alaska and Key West.
Okay.
And we were going to go back to Surprise, Arizona this past winter. And we were ready to go back there, and the fellow from Key West Resort down there sent me an email asking if we'd be interested in coming down to work for him. And we didn't know nothing about him, but he found our resume on the
WorkCamper.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he reached out to us to offer us a job.
Okay.
And so, I told her, I said, it's 8 months, it's in the winter, it's in Key West, and he called us. We can't pass that up.
Oh, no, that is neat. What attracted him to your resume, do you think?
We know.
We know.
They put search words in, the employers do sometimes, if they're looking for specifics. And one of his, or two of his search words were no pets and no smoking.
Okay.
And it brought us to the top of the list.
Very good. So no pets and no smoking. Mm-hmm. So that means that people who are posting resumes on WorkCamper News and WorkCamper website should keep that in mind and kind of manipulate, I don't want to say manipulate, but write their resumes in a way that these keywords that are important to them come up front and come up frequently.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Because you don't want to take a job and then you're not happy there because you have a pet and the person that's hired you didn't realize you had a pet or that you were a smoker or needed anything special.
Okay, that's good advice.
And on the sell yourself part of the resume, I actually put toward the end the things we wanted to do, and one of them I put in, I would like to find a job in Key West.
Okay.
So I'm sure he saw that too in the sell yourself part.
Oh, that's a good point. So he's searching for who wants to come to Key West, and that brings up some resumes, and then he looks and says, okay, who doesn't have pets? And then you come up on that as well, and they'll open the door for you.
Yes.
Very good. What attracted you to this lifestyle?
Oh, as he said, we drove truck. And so then we decided that we were only wanting to drive every other month, so we bought our motorhome used. And we were at a campground, actually, and I went to the laundry room, and I found the Work Camping magazine, and that was it. We started searching it over, and we found our first two jobs. Sugar Beets was one, and Amazon was the other, and knew they could make us enough money that it would get our feet wet and do good.
Okay. So you found it kind of by accident, doing laundry, and ran across a WorkCamper News magazine somebody had left behind.
As I tell people, I was like, once you get an RV, if you travel in it very much, you're going to hear about these things from people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because the community of RVers is rather tight-knit, especially the campfire connections is pretty much what they talk about.
Definitely.
And they talk about everything.
Oh, right? They do.
Where they've been, where to go, where not to go, and all that good stuff.
That's where we found most of our first jobs was through other people in their RVs.
Who had already been in that job,
yes.
And you thought it'd be interesting, and so you applied that way?
That's a great idea. That's how we actually got the Skagway job. Another couple that had done it had recommended us. She didn't usually hire that way, but she took us on, and we got a Christmas tree lot the same way.
Oh, my. So you sold Christmas trees one time. Now, that would be a fun job. That's very short term, right? Only about 6 weeks?
Yep. Yeah. Thanksgiving through Christmas, Simi Valley, California is where we did it.
They sell Christmas trees in Simi Valley, California?
Yes.
Oh, yep. Those are the ones that are picked in June up in Wisconsin, right?
No, they are not. Actually, that company gets them fresh every day. They're cut and delivered within 24 hours.
Oh, from the forest in California?
Oregon. Mm-hmm. A lot of them Oregon.
Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
Yeah, we love that one. It was a busy one. You worked constantly and you had to be on the spot 24/7, but it was worth it.
One of the things that I've heard mentioned at the WorkCamper Rendezvous is that you need to have a 3 to 5 year plan. Have you gone to that length yet to establish where you want to be in 3 to 5 years?
We play it more by the seat of our pants.
Okay.
Now, when we first started out, she was a little bit nervous if we didn't have a job lined up before the first job was over.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept telling her every time we did that, I said, look at this job. It's still available. Look at these people really looking for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's kind of gotten to understand that we really don't have to rush and get and plan too far out.
So what you do when you plan is you look for the type of job and then move to that area.
Demographics.
It's not necessarily we want to live in New England at this point and go look for just jobs in New England, but it's just this job sounds real interesting or like it would be fun or unique.
Yeah.
And then you just pick up the RV and head over there.
Yes.
And most of your jobs are what, 3 to 6 months? As a general rule?
Yeah, it's at least four to six, yeah.
4 to 6.
And we, you know, like Surprise, Arizona, the stadium was a little less.
Mm-hmm.
That was still good.
Right, that's another 6 week gig kind of thing.
Yeah, Sugar Beets was short, Amazon was short, and the spring training was short.
Mm-hmm. But the rest are typically about 4 months.
Yes.
Okay.
And like I said, Key West was 8 months, but we didn't tire of that too quick.
Yeah, Key West is a fun place to visit.
Yeah, interesting place.
Yeah. And do most of these jobs just give you a free campsite, or are you getting paid as well?
All of our jobs, we've had a free site except for the spring training, but we found actually a moose lodge that, and we have solar panels on our motorhome and a generator. So we basically just were out loud to park in that moose lodge for about a month and a half for free.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do about your tanks?
There was actually a trailer camping type store in that town, 5 miles away or something. So every few days we just drive up there and dump in the back of the back and behind that building.
Uh-huh.
And it was free. So we just go up there, we dump, we fill up our water and go back to the moose lodge.
In a designated area, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Just
yeah.
Dumping behind the building.
Oh,
so
no.
People
no.
might see this and say, that's an answer to my prayer.
No, they actually had a dump there, and it wasn't fenced or anything. You know, 24 hours a day, you could pull in there and put your hose in their sewer line and dump it.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, other than that, we have taken only jobs that give us sites full. You know, we get paid for every hour, and our sites are free.
Okay. And you just look for those at the last minute on Work Camper News, or the daily hotline or something like that?
Definitely. I love that.
Mm-hmm. And did you take advantage of any of the other things on the website that provide information about the lifestyle, or do you guys consider yourself pretty much experienced?
We picked up pretty much a lot. I mean, once in a while I look at some of the things. I'll try to find some reviews, but some of the ones I'm looking for, I usually don't find any.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I always like to pick people's brains. If I go to a job or anything, I'm always trying to get all the information I can about jobs and locations.
Okay.
And we have not been to a rendezvous. This is our first rendezvous.
And what attracted you to rendezvous?
And why did it take us so long?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Because we've always had a job.
Okay.
So we weren't available. So this year, we took off a little time, and I said, go ahead, sign us up.
Did you learn anything new while you were at the training?
I think the main thing is seeing how many people are here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it was mentioned in some of the seminars and things that you're not alone.
Right.
You know, and it's almost surprising how many people and how long they've been doing it, and there's still that many people coming interested in the lifestyle.
Do you meet anybody new here?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of great people, and there are so many of them have so much interest, and we could give a little bit because we've been doing it for so long. So they're doing like I do. They're asking everything they can find out from me.
What would you tell somebody who is considering entering the RV lifestyle or becoming a work camper?
Do not buy a new rig.
Okay.
Buy something used that you could afford. No payments, please.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know if you're going to like it, and you don't know what kind of pay you're going to get.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's several people here we've talked to that aren't even work camping yet, have already gone out and bought brand new big fifth wheels that they got bills to pay and everything. I mean, you don't go into it with a lot of debt.
Okay, and buying a used vehicle often ensures that many of the little problems were already taken care of under the warranty and things like that. So you're getting a unit that's been tested and proven and ready to be roadworthy.
Yeah, ours doesn't have any slides on it, and I've heard so many horror stories about brand new motorhomes going down the highway with slides, and they start sliding out on them.
Yeah, that's never happened to me, thank goodness, but that'd be one thing that would kind of ruin your experience.
Definitely.
Or make for a bad day anyway. Yeah. So don't buy new. And what would you recommend to work campers?
Be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see so many people write things where I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to do that. I got there and they wanted me to do this. I was like, it's not that hard of a job. Whatever they want you to do is probably not that hard.
Right.
You know, just be flexible and do what they want you to do.
And they're not really masking the jobs, right? It's not like they're being deceptive.
No, and you don't need to be deceptive either. Don't go into a camp hosting job that you know you're going to have to be cleaning fire pits and bathrooms, and you're not able to do it. That's not fair to the person that just hired you.
That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. So if everybody's a little honest, it makes for a better experience.
Definitely. Yep.
Well, thank you for telling us a little bit about your experience. I wish you the best of luck going forward.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Many people get into a routine while work camping and that they seek jobs that they've done before, whether it's in retail or often as a campground host. Randy Lenoff and Marjorie Snyder have done that too, but they've also sold Christmas trees, worked at an amusement park in Iowa, took tickets during spring training, and even harvested sugar beets. So not only do they enjoy wonderful memories of places they travel, but also of trying a whole bunch of new job experiences as well. Marjorie explained that work camping was like going on vacation, but for much longer. They described how developing relationships with other RVers has opened the door for them to get some pretty fantastic jobs. They also travel without a concrete plan. They either pick a place to visit and then look for jobs in that area, or they see what sounds like a fun job to have and they head in that direction. That's the type of flexibility people enjoy while work camping and RVing. I appreciate Randy and Marjorie for taking time to share their experiences with us. My next guest is someone who is dreaming about launching into the RV lifestyle. Megan Raphael and her husband have been Michiganders for many years. They grew up there and returned to Michigan after living in Portland, Oregon for several decades. They have a smaller 22-foot travel trailer and take it on extended trips every year. But they're investigating the full-time lifestyle, or at least the opportunities to be on the road for longer periods of time. Megan says she's never been fond of the idea of just retiring and hanging out at home, so they're planning some adventures and pursuing other interests. She heard about work camping through some online research and has been watching videos and reading stories about people who are successfully engaged in the lifestyle. She described some of the steps they're taking now to prepare for transitioning out of jobs and into a more mobile lifestyle. Megan's exploring paid work camping positions as well as volunteer opportunities where she can assist with remote medical clinics around the country. It's kind of ironic that she's been listening to episodes of this podcast as she's developing her plan, and I asked her to come on the show to describe her process for investigating the RV lifestyle. So please welcome Megan Raphael to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Megan. I appreciate it. Tell us about a little about you, where you're from.
Ah, well, I'm currently living in northern Michigan. My husband and I are both from Michigan, and we lived here for, grew up here and went to school, college here, and then we went to Portland, Oregon for about 20 years, but missed the lake so much here in Michigan that we decided to come back. So we are Michiganders for the last 20-some years.
Almost Youpers too, right?
Almost. In fact, we just spent a month up there this fall in the Upper Peninsula, and it was terrific around Lake Superior. What a beautiful area.
It is gorgeous, and I'm a Wisconsin native myself, but I'll have to admit, every time I've come up to your area, it has poured rain. I mean, I've looked forward to that trip.
That or snow, eh?
Yeah. No, I avoid northern Wisconsin in the winter for sure, but I always wanted to go up there around the lake when the weather was nice. But as soon as I get anywhere within like 60 miles of the Mackinac Bridge, it just, the skies open and it just pours. And I don't know what the reason is for that.
But, so I won't invite you over for the summertime when I want to have beautiful weather. You might be the cause.
That's exactly right. So you do not own an RV at this point, is that right?
We do own an RV.
You do.
We own a small Forest River Cruise Light 22-foot.
Okay. And you are considering becoming a work camper and pursuing this full time.
We are. We have taken a couple of longish trips. We went, we spent about 3 weeks in Florida, and we took a month through Canada and through the Maritime provinces. And then last fall, we spent in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. So the maximum so far is a month at a time, and that so far has worked out so great. It just continues to give us ideas for wanting to do it, as you say, for a longer period of time and to do it full time.
Mm-hmm. Are you both working right now?
No.
No,
I am. Both of us are semi-retired. I currently work 2 days a week for a senior residential club here in northern Michigan, and my husband teaches online classes, law classes. So we have some flexibility, and my employer has been terrific enough to bless the 2 months. And in fact, we'll be taking 2 months off this spring, though we won't be camping with our trailer. We'll be tent camping just because of the issue of arrangements, because we're also going to Costa Rica. So yes, we are both semi-retired, and we are ready in the fall to probably make it a permanent move.
That's great. And what prompted that? Why'd you decide to pursue the RV lifestyle?
Well, we read so many great stories, and we've met terrific people in the campgrounds we've been in. And I really appreciate people who are out exploring and looking at the world in different ways. I have just never been a person who's been satisfied with kind of the standard retirement idea. I have many, many interests, as my husband does. So there's lots of things we want to do, but we also want to explore this country and so I think RVing is the ideal way. And that's why I also like work campers. What I read about work campers, you guys have a great organization. I've seen lots of opportunities. And so it gives us the chance of really taking a look at what are some other options than just quitting jobs and going. I think I know my husband would probably echo the same thing. I really like working. I like serving. I like being around people. I like the interactions. So for me, work camping would be ideal. Like I say, I have lots of other interests and hobbies that I want to pursue, but I could do that also working part-time on the road. So that's what I think work campers, as I've become more familiar with it, is just a very, very exciting concept for people who really like to work and, in fact, would like some extra money to fund my interests and hobbies.
That's right. How did you find out about work camping in the first place?
I'm not exactly sure. Because I continue to explore this whole issue of should we be doing this, when do we want to do it, and so forth, I continue to search out good resources. And then somehow along the way, I became familiar with Work Camper. And I've been on the newsletter, so I get the postings, and I've heard several YouTube videos, which has been a great resource. So I'm not exactly sure where it first started, but I would like to know more and certainly have grown in my awareness of it and appreciation of it also.
What kind of questions do you as a dreamer have that you're looking for answers?
Well, as it relates to work camping specifically, I think I'm not exactly sure I understand the process. I assume it's highly competitive to get some of the jobs that I read about. And I'm not sure that if we wanted to work for shorter periods of time, like a month, for example, and then move around to the next one, is that possible? So there are some specific questions I have about work camping. I know one thing, we have some uncertainties, but I do know the one thing that we know about, well, two things. We know we want to be back into northern Michigan for the summer months. So I look at many of the opportunities on work campers, and certainly those are related to parks or campgrounds or so forth that need summer help, and that probably isn't something we want to do. But I think there's a lot of interesting opportunities in the winter months too, so that's what we'd be looking at.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking to escape the cold.
We are indeed. Yes, we are.
Very good.
We live in an area here that's surrounded by woods, so we do snowshoeing right outside our door, and it's lovely. But I appreciate that for about a month and a half, and then I am ready to go. And honestly, we haven't explored the Southwest quite as much as we'd like to. When we lived in Oregon, we did a lot of traveling through California and Idaho and through the Oregon desert. But there's so many parts of this country that I haven't seen, so it would give us an opportunity to do that also.
Are you looking to get a different RV? Or are you planning to do this with
No.
the one you have? Okay.
We're planning on doing it with our smaller rig. We have found in the months that we have been out in it, it has just suited us perfectly well. I think there are a couple things that I think that do make it work. One is that I have a goal of living more simply and allowing my lifestyle to afford to spend it on things that are just meaningful to me and interesting and fun, as opposed to be kind of being burdened with a lot of maintenance issues or shoulds or whatever it might involve. So to try to hone our life down into a more simple way of life is our desire. And the good news is my husband and I really like each other, so the smaller space seems to work. In the rig we have now, we have a lot of storage space. It just seems to suit us. Mm-hmm. So it is. The other thing is that I believe, now this is an assumption on my part, so I may be wrong on this. I think that driving a bigger rig and also some of the maintenance issues with slide outs and so forth, for me, aren't as appealing. So a smaller trailer that we pull allows us the flexibility and then the ease of traveling too.
You had mentioned coming down to the Southwest. Are there any other places that are on your bucket list?
Oh my gosh, there's all kinds of them. The South, we haven't spent as much time in the Midwest as we'd like. We've traveled through as on our way to different places. I just find our country to be so full of amazing opportunities that I think we could, and I know that other people are doing this, we could be probably on the road for 10 years and not see everything. So the idea of going to Alaska intrigues me, although I'm not sure we're quite up to that at this moment. But there's just so many great places.
There are a lot
of options.
Of course,
we love beaches and water, and we're fortunate enough to live in an area like that. So I'm always seeking out places that I can find beach glass or rocks or whatever it is, shells. So I think wherever we could find a beautiful beach would be lovely.
Very good. Are you looking for paid positions or volunteer positions?
You know, I think both. Being a volunteer and doing that and spending a portion of our time is really important to us. We have become associated with an organization called Remote Area Medical, and they set up medical clinics around the country. We have taken our trailer once last year and did that and camped nearby and then worked at the clinic, and we'll be doing that again in June. So I know there's lots of volunteer RVers and organizations, so that would be a part of it, though I think that we are also looking at paid positions.
Okay.
So that is the beauty for me of your organization, that you provide both kind of listings, and I could, you know, learn more about those from through your organization.
What type of paid jobs are you looking at doing? Like campground host, or have you looked at some of the other options?
Well, I think I'd look at some other options. I'm not averse at all to campground hosts. Honestly, I don't know as much about it. I can't say our maintenance skills are particularly strong, but we're both, highly skilled and love customer service. I used to wait tables in college, and I've always been intrigued by that. So I think we'd be open to lots of different things, which is, I've really appreciated your podcast because it's helped me see what are the huge variety of choices that we would have. It's not just, as I think some of the podcasts have said this, it's not just cleaning toilets.
Right.
Not that that would be a problem. We would certainly be willing to do that, but when we were at a park in Maine near Acadia, outside of the national park, there was a wonderful campground that we stayed at, and there was a guy who drove a golf cart around. He greeted people and took them to their sites and helped them settle in and oriented them to the area. That I thought that would be really fun. So anything, I think, working with people, working in offices, I'd be willing, certainly happy to do that. And again, that's why I love the work camper listings, because it shows such a choice, so many choices.
Mm-hmm. Have you put together a resume yet?
Interestingly enough, I put it with some guidance, just some informal guidance from your site. I did put together one one that I had read about. And so I've got kind of the basics of one. I need to, when we get serious about this, we need to really do that more thoroughly.
I'd agree.
And I love the options, the resources for helping us do that is great.
Mm-hmm. And have you looked at formulating a plan as to where you'd like to be, like a year or 2 years from now?
Well, Greg, that's a great question. You know, I think we're still formulating that. I was thinking about what do we need to overcome in order to make this happen? And I think one of the things is to have more clarity about where we want to go, how long we want to stay, certainly the budget, what will be needed. So, you know, I think that we have spent a lot of time looking through and thinking about and reading books. And now I think we need to make a decision and make it happen. Mm-hmm. I think it's both courage. It takes some courage. One of the things we're thinking about, like many people do at first, is just renting our house out for a year and taking off and seeing how it feels and it is. And knowing that that decision is not necessarily a lifetime decision. We can always come back after a year and if we didn't like it, or we could continue on and make new choices. So it's freeing ourselves up, I think, from the fear of the unknown and letting go of some of the things that have kept us, I wouldn't say stuck, but kept us here in Michigan, which is a house, mm-hmm. a house that we need to probably rent. And we have two cats that we need to decide what to do with them. We're not taking them traveling. So there's a few details, but I think we just need to make a decision. And when we do, I think that will help us then begin formulate a clearer plan on where we want to go and how long we want to stay at each place.
I would agree with that. It seems to be the way a lot of people put that together is just make that decision, and then it all seems to start coming together, you know, as they start.
I think that's right. And I think it's, when I think about really what, like I said, what's keeping us stuck here or keeping us not moving, it's just that fear. It's a fear of the unknown. And yet, you know, my experience, and now that I've worked in a senior residential club for almost 6 years, I see how important it is to make the decision and to make the decision when we're healthy and excited to go and to do it.
Absolutely.
I think putting off things is very frightening, because I can see what I see what happens in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it can happen a moment's notice. So we need to be making these. I think both of us want to be making these decisions and moving on it. I think that our, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
I was going to say, you know, one of the things we've thought about is that, for example, we're going to take 2 months off in the fall and we'll be heading out west, and we're just now crafting that whole itinerary. And I believe that that will help us, because once I'm on the road, I noticed it last year in the fall when we were on the road talking to people, you know, seeing all the great places to go, seeing it, experiencing the ease of it and the joys of RVing. It's so motivating. And then to step back into our kind of usual life, we've been out of it now for 3 months. It's a little easy to get distracted. So I'm excited about getting back in the RV and going for several months and really, again, becoming acquainted with that excitement and feeling again.
Are there any questions that you're still looking for answers to, such as medical?
Oh, no, I didn't. No, not really. It might be something we need to consider, but I feel like it's one of those things that we would, we've got good insurance. I think we can have out of state. So that, I think we will find that, those okay. kinds of things.
Okay.
I think it's more arrangements for making it happen. Arrangements for kind of the overwhelm I feel about trying to get a house ready to rent. And yet so many people have done that. It's not impossible, certainly. So those would be my questions about and budget. How much does it cost? I've seen a couple of really great YouTubes recently where people really kind of lay out the budget, and that gave me a clear picture.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're doing a lot of research into the lifestyle already, so you should know what to expect
yes.
when you hit the road. That will help.
Yes, and I think that's important. I've never been a person that really needs to have everything researched, but I do know that I spend some time thinking about it. I'm a fairly reflective person, so for me, the time spent even just reading helps me think about how can I fit that in, how do I fit with that, how do we fit with that, and then we'll move fast. I've seen that, and oftentimes it's kind of go slow to go fast.
Go slow to go fast.
And I suspect this is one of those times.
Yeah. But you looks like you've already determined that you're going to stay with your rig, so you've got that taken care of. And you've got an
yes.
idea of where you want to go first. So you mentioned
yes.
like the Southwest, et cetera. So it sounds like you are in the process of formulating that plan. Has it required a lot of discussion among you and your husband? Have there been some areas of disagreement? Like, no, I'm not going to Arizona ever.
No, not necessarily specifically, because we're pretty much in agreement. I'm only chuckling because we do spend a lot of time talking about it, and what's our vision and what do we need to do and what's a step and what are the questions. So we do a lot of discussion about it. And I think the clarity, the vision becomes clearer and clearer as we talk more about it, mm-hmm. which is why I think it's important. Camping is really important, because for me, it's an option to continue bringing some income in. And that is, there was an article recently I read about the different styles of retirement, and one of them was a reluctant spender. And I think I fit into that category. So for me, and again, like I said before, I really enjoy working and being with people. So I think that's where work camping is important. That makes me feel like if we could settle on that, I'd feel like a little bit more assured that we had some income coming in and I had some of those other pieces in place.
Have you heard of the Work Camper Rendezvous?
You know, I have, and I was very excited about it. I hear that it's, in Arkansas this year, and unfortunately it's on a time that we're not going to be able to make it, but boy, it sounded like a great resource.
It is a great opportunity. A week-long training, individual sessions on what to do, how to create your plan, how to work on your resume.
Ah.
You get to meet other RVers and things like that. I know a lot of dreamers attend that and usually come out of there fired up with their plan in place, ready to hit the road.
But oh, interesting.
It sounds like you've already...
And it happens once a year, right? Only in the...
Yep. Usually in October in Heber Springs, Arkansas.
That's right. It was in October, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you envision this lifestyle to be like once you actually launch into it?
Ooh. I expect it to be... have a certain sense of freedom. I expect that it would allow me to be more connected to outdoors, to gain a different appreciation, a more of appreciation for our country. I think that it would, again, allow us, I envision being around, again, having interesting conversations with interesting people.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that it would give us that, just that sense of ease of of being spontaneous. I think it's easy, and I find this for, and maybe all of us are in this way, you know, we get in kind of predictable routines, and I really love the notion of being out of those routines. Every day would be a little different, which I've loved when we've been RVing before. I really like that, a greater spontaneity. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed, and when we were in the Upper Peninsula this year, we did it a little differently. We did not necessarily reserve ahead of time, which we have done in previous times. And by necessity in Florida, we had to. Mm-hmm. But this, so I really like that kind of, well, what do we feel like doing? Well, you know, and then making those plans to get there. So I expect it would not be all too different than what we've experienced on our shorter times. And I really like who I am, and I like who we are when we're doing that.
You have children?
I am not. We do have older children. So I guess one of the concerns, we have one granddaughter, a young 2-year-old toddler. Mm-hmm. And maybe that is a question. I don't know how other grandparents do it. You know, we have been very involved in her life and want to continue to be. And so I do wrestle with that. That is a question that I hadn't really thought about. I've certainly thought about it, but I didn't in the context of this conversation. But I think that is a question. How do other grandparents do it? I know there's certainly, we can do FaceTime and we can do Skyping and we can mm-hmm. pop back in occasionally every couple of months. But I do worry about that aspect of traveling and being gone for very long.
Mm-hmm. That's a very valid concern, because if you want to have an impact on your grandkids, that requires contact. So how do you do that when you're traveling all over? So yeah, that's a very good valid concern. Are there any other areas? Go ahead.
I was going to say, so that is one of the things that I need to work out in my head and to really kind of sort through. And according, you know, our daughter's fine with it. You know, she's encouraging us to do that. So she doesn't seem to have the worry. It's just from as a grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
But I know lots of grandparents go through that. So, you know, we're not the only ones, and we can learn from others and how they successfully have maneuvered that issue.
Maybe your daughter's looking ahead and saying, here's an opportunity where we can get grandpa and grandma to take her away for a week or a month.
You know, in truth, I think that's right. She said, well, we'll just come and visit you, or we'll, you know, maybe she's thinking, well, we'll send our daughter to you too, which would be quite delightful to have, you know, a child on a camping trip and introduce her to that lifestyle too.
A lot of grandparents do that. They find it to be a tremendous bonding experience with their grandchildren.
I bet. Yeah. I bet. That's a very good point. I need to look at the other side of it, which are, what are the benefits and the values that it can, the value it can bring.
Are there any areas where Work Camper News or the Work Camper organization could help you further your plan or further your decision process, things, tools, et cetera, that they could provide for you that would be helpful?
That's a really great question. I, off the top of my head, I can't, because I have found it to be full of resources already and very helpful. So I can't think of anything specific. I love the podcasts. I think they're very helpful. The newsletter is always very helpful. So no, I can't think of anything specifically.
Super. And you said you work with senior citizens right now, and that's kind of a driving factor, because you're seeing what happens if you delay that dream.
That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, you know, as we all know, things can happen in a moment and your whole life will turn around. And I, you know, the people that I have seen, I am always fascinated by the resiliency of people. And oftentimes the resiliency is strengthened by people's knowledge that they've kind of done what they wanted to do in their life, and that they can draw on that and build on those memories. And I just think that there's so many benefits, and it's so important to do it when we can. And both of us are healthy and we're active, and you know, I just don't want to have to sit in a rocking chair someday and look back and say, I wish I'd done that.
Exactly.
So I just see such value in taking charge and seizing the moment when one can. I mean, it's got to be a smart decision, but so often the fear holds us back, and that I just, you know, those fears are often very, so unrealistic.
Very good. Well, thank you, Megan. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you so much. I appreciate having the conversation with you.
Megan Raffaella's being smart and contemplating all of her options before she and her husband jump into the RV and work camping lifestyle with both feet. It's a big decision to make, Like others in her situation, she's wondering if they need to sell their house. They're setting a budget. They're investigating what jobs are available and the areas they want to visit. She does have an interesting perspective after working in a senior residential center where she sees people who are no longer physically able to pursue their dreams. Megan and her husband don't want to wind up regretting not jumping at the chance to enjoy some adventures while they're still young enough to do so. I like that Megan is planning a smaller trip this fall where they will spend 2 months exploring the lifestyle to see if they like it. By talking to other people along the way, there's no doubt she'll either get her questions answered and jump in full-time, or they'll decide the lifestyle isn't for them. I give them credit for taking time to investigate their options and taking time to make sure they don't make any rash decisions. So thank you, Megan, for taking time to outline your concerns, questions, hopes, and dreams with all of us. WorkCamper News just produced a new online course and community called The Dreamer's Journey to help people like Megan get started in the RV lifestyle the right way with a comprehensive guide. For a monthly subscription fee, people can participate in 2 online webinars every week to learn things like what type of RV to buy, how to set goals, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, where to call home, and how to find a job or start a mobile business. All online events will be recorded for watching at any time. Subscribers can also join an open question and answer session once a month. For more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's 1-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. That's all we have for today's show. Next time, we'll talk with the founder of Girl Camper, who will provide some inspiration for women who are interested in RVing with or without their spouses. Thanks for listening to today's episode of The Work Camper Show.